And joining us this morning is Chris Cargill from the Mountain States Policy Center. Chris, it's been a few minutes since we've chatted, so we welcome you to the program. It's good to have you on.
Thanks very much, Neil. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let me be the first. I mean, I think congratulations is in order, but I'm sure you were happy to see that the tax credit cap has been reached weeks and weeks ahead of the deadline for the parental choice tax credit. And we'd love for you to tell us more about that.
Yeah, we were really excited to see that, mainly because it's helping so many families throughout the state. So the final number is 12,497 students participating in the parental choice tax credit. And if you compare that to the size of the school districts around the state, for example, it would be the fifth largest school district in the state of Idaho, which is really remarkable. They did open the window back up in May because they had some funds left over because parents were being responsible. They were not doing what the critics said they were going to do. They were actually just applying for the expenses that they had, which in many cases were less than the $5,000 that is allowed by the bill. So there were funds left over. And as a result of that, they opened the window back up. More parents signed up. And here we are with the cap being reached and 12,497 students being helped by this tax credit, which comparatively speaking, I mean, based on Idaho's population, if we were the size of Texas, for example, the percentage of students participating is rivaling those other states, which is really remarkable for this particular program.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you are a policy center, so you're clearly looking for benchmarks. You just gave us benchmarks or data points in that. From this point forward, as the tax credit happens and we see kids enroll in these private schools or these homeschool programs, what other data points are you going to be looking for and potentially asking the legislature to maybe expand?
Yeah, I mean, right now, obviously, the cap is $50 million, and the fact that the cap has been reached shows, obviously, that there is demand. I think some parents look at the first year, and they're like, well, I want to see how it goes and see what the experience of other students may be before I jump in. So every year, we're going to see these numbers come out. The tax credit for this year, for example, starts in January 15th. 15th is the day. So we will find out next year how many students participate. And I think it's really important for the legislature to obviously keep a close eye on that, because the more students participating, the better it is budget-wise for the state of Idaho. Instead of the state spending $8,000 or $9,000 per student on K-12 education, if it's giving a tax credit to parents for $5,000, obviously that's saving the state $4,000 plus per student. So while I think it's important budget-wise for the legislatures to take a close look at this, now there are some people who say, well, this is a waste of money and that it's too much money. I mean, comparatively speaking, if we're going to compare the $50 million that we're spending on this tax credit program with the $3 billion that we spend on K-12, it is a drop in the bucket. It is not even comparable. So the money that is available for this program and available for parents, I think, is a very small token, if you will, that the state of Idaho can offer for parents who want more options.
Chris, I'm sure you remember well the year, maybe the year or two after the launch program was started by the governor and the legislature barely approved it. When that money was claimed and they reached their cap, I remember the discussion. It was celebratory. It was, look how popular this is. It was, how can we get more money into this program? I'm guessing we're not going to see the same reaction with this because of, at least not from the same people that were supporting the launch program. But if we're going to be intellectually honest, isn't that the same discussion we should be having about the tax credit? That if it is this popular and it is helping families and it is, as you mentioned, easing the burden on the state. Shouldn't we, as a legislature, talk more about bolstering the program with some more funding?
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right, Neil. And it is, there's a bit of hypocrisy from people who say that they absolutely love the launch program, but hate the parental choice tax credit program. And that comes with politics, obviously. Politics and politicians will sometimes wear different skin each and every day. And so one day they may be in favor of something and opposed to it the next day. But I think overall, policy-wise, this is proving that it is popular among parents, and it is helping so many families who perhaps didn't have the ability to do this on their own. That's the bottom line. And the income limits that are on this, or the income thresholds, I should say, that are on this, are making sure that we are providing this particular program for those who need it most. This is not just a situation where it's going to the rich. I mean, in most other states, this is something that the critics didn't want to share. But in most other states, the average median household income of those participating in the program is somewhere between $60,000 to $80,000 per year. That is not rich. That is not just some a rich guy in Boise taking advantage of getting an extra $5,000 from the state. That's actual families who are participating and grateful to be able to participate and give their child a different opportunity.
I know we've talked about the tax credit a lot, but one really quick follow-up question. Sort of the texture of the legislature looks a little bit different than it did when the tax credit was passed. But do you think the 2027 legislature will take a serious look at expanding the House Bill 93 tax credit?
Well, that's a great question. If they were just taking an honest look at it, they would say, yes, let's look at expanding this opportunity, specifically for students perhaps who are opting out of the public school system. But again, the caveat there was an honest look.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't necessarily see that in politics. And so my prediction is that it is going to be just as difficult to expand the program as it was to pass the program, unfortunately, because people are so kind of built into their thoughts and views on this particular issue, and they're not going to change no matter what the numbers say or what the statistics tell us about how many people it's helping, which is disappointing. It's too bad.
All right. Pun intended. Let's use this conversation to launch into more topics about what you think will be covered in the 2027 legislative session. What things are you going to be working on?
Well, obviously, we'll be tracking this in addition to other issues surrounding education. There's probably going to be a large conversation in the legislative session about the state's funding formula for education. So that will be interesting and something we'll be taking a close eye on. It's important that I think people realize that Idaho's funding formula is something that has not been adjusted or addressed since the 90s. And so what we're talking about in terms of the funding formula discussion is how much money school districts have to spend per student on education, and how you account for a quote-unquote student. Is a student someone who's enrolled? Is a student someone who's part of a daily attendance tracker? What is a student in each district? So that's going to be an interesting discussion going forward and probably coming to a head in the next legislative session. I think there's going to be a lot of talk, obviously, depending on what happens with some of the ballot measures, about whether those ballot measures should be repealed by the legislature, which the legislature could do. And there's also going to be talk about continuing Idaho's impressive record on reducing income taxes and or property taxes. We're going to be coming out with an analysis here pretty soon on whether and how the state could get rid of its property tax. But I think it's important to recognize the state of Idaho, the state being the entity, does not have a property tax. Your property tax is the function of local governments. So your city council or your school district or your county, the state itself does not have a property tax. So if the state of Idaho is going to have a policy in place that says, we are not going to have a property tax, we're not going to allow local governments to adopt property taxes, what is going to be the alternative for that? Is it going to be a new sales tax? Is it going to be some sort of other tax? Or is it going to be Boise basically funding local governments, which is not the most ideal scenario either. I mean, I think from our perspective, we would rather see local governments and local voters deciding how much money they should have to pay and what those dollars should go toward. I'd much rather have folks in Idaho Falls making those decisions than folks in Boise.
All right, we're talking with Chris Cargill. Chris, we just have another minute or two left. Tell us about your upcoming policy lunch in October here in East Idaho.
Yeah, we each October, we do a policy lunch in Idaho Falls. We're looking forward to that this year. It's Thursday, October 8th. That will be held at the Holiday Inn, and Attorney General Raul Labrador will be one of our speakers, along with some of our research directors as well. So it's a free, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch, but in this case, it is a free lunch. And we will look forward to inviting everyone who's listening to the program today to join us at that event and talk a little policy, enjoy some lunch, enjoy some camaraderie with folks in Idaho Falls, and really, really looking forward to that on Thursday, October 8th. I know we don't want to think about fall right now. We're trying to still get all we can out of summer, but fall is on the way. It'll be here sooner than we realize.
All right, Chris Cargill, Mountain States Policy Center. And Chris, really quick, give us your website again.
MountainStatesPolicy.org.
Perfect. Chris, thanks. It's always great to chat with you.
My pleasure. Thanks, both of you.
All right. It's.